toward the end of this book, which has 28 chapters. So we're making good progress. We looked at and saw last week the conclusion of this council that they had in Jerusalem as they were dealing with what does someone need to do to be saved. And we came to an understanding that we are saved by grace through faith alone. And also what we're going to see this morning is Paul desiring to return back to those churches that he had founded in his first missionary journey. So there's like about a five-year span of time between chapter 15 and chapter 16. And we're going to see now that he has a desire to go back and to see how those churches are coming along. So what I wanted to do is let's go ahead and read from verse 1 just down to verse 5. We may continue even more after that, but at least we can get a good start. So what if you would stand with me, please? I'd appreciate that. Chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. And this is what it says. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, he delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Let's take a moment to pray and ask God to bless our time in his word. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being here today to be able to gather together, Lord, as your called out ones, as your church, and to be able to hear what you would have to say in your word. So we ask you, Lord, to be the teacher this morning. We ask you, Lord, to be the one who is dealing with each of us personally in our hearts. We pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, and Lord, that we would hear and that we would learn and that we would grow and that our faith, Lord, would increase and that we would continue to be effective witnesses of the gospel, Lord, in our community and in those around us. And we pray and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So Paul, and I also want to mention Silas is still with him. Remember that Barnabas had and Paul had separated. And so now Paul is wanting to go to Derbe, which is one of the cities in the first missionary journey that he had some 5 years earlier, and where he had had great success. Remember that? We just saw it last week. So we see him wanting to go there and to find out how the work of the Lord continued among those churches that he had founded earlier. And I find that interesting. Paul wanting to follow up. Paul wanting to visit them. And I think it's important to note, and we know from different passages in the Scripture, that he constantly thought about his spiritual children. For instance, if you go with me real quick to Philippians chapter 1, you'll see in the opening chapter, in his introduction to that church, that he says the following. And we get a kind of a little glimpse into his heart. And we get a chance to see how he thinks about these spiritual children. And he says this at Philippians 1:3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Notice what he's doing. He's remembering them in mind and in prayer. He is joyful for them as his spiritual children. He recognizes that there's a partnership and in the gospel. And he says that that's from the first day until now. So as a church, we have to understand that we're all together in a partnership. We're partners for the sake of the gospel. As a matter of fact, it is the gospel that has made us partners. It is the gospel that has called us from many different places and backgrounds and conditions and made us one family in Christ. And so now, back to Acts 16, it says Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And he wanted to see how they were doing. He wanted to see how they were growing. He loved them, I believe. That's what I'm getting from this. And he loved their fellowship. And he wanted to make sure that they were maturing. They were growing in their faith. That is so important. Evangelism is more than just leading people to Christ. And we've been talking about this for some weeks now. Evangelism starts there, of course. Evangelism is about finding ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then once somebody makes a commitment to Christ, we just don't leave them there and abandon them. That's really the first step. And I would say to you that it is so important for us as Christians to realize that it's really not the beginning that's important, although necessary. It's how you end that matters. It's how you finish the race that matters. And a lot of people start the race. A lot of people start projects. A lot of people start different types of endeavors and activities in their life. And how many of us can say that we finished every one of them that we've started? Man, I got a few projects I left kind of undone. And it's not how you start that really matters, although without starting, you can never finish. If you don't get to the start line, you can never finish and get to the finish line. And it is the process, if you will, the journey that's important for our faith. Faith in its own right in the journey is its own reward. Because on the way and as we go, we see God in our lives. But the bottom line, and I don't think there'll be anyone to disagree with me, what matters most is how we finish. So Paul, having started these churches, if you go back to 1:6 of Philippians again, I'll finish up why I'm saying this. Because Paul stresses the fact that he had been thinking about them, and he was praying for them, and that they were partners in the gospel. But look at what verse 1:6 says, right? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So it's not just the first day. It's the until now part that he's concerned with. So he's going back to check up on them. He wanted to make sure that they were maturing. And he also encourages them by saying that he is sure of this one thing, that the one who began the good work in us would be faithful to what? To complete it or to finish it. Let me tell you what matters as Christians, that we finish the race. And Paul would say at the end of his ministry, if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we all know this particular verse, very popular, where Paul would say in his ministry there at the end that he had finished the race. And see if I can find it, because it just popped in my head. It's over in, and if someone knows where it is, sorry, I should have looked it up before, but I didn't think of it before. Anyway, the bottom line of Paul's thinking is that he says that he had fought a good fight and that he had finished his course, that he had finished the race, right? And that there was laid up for him in heaven a crown. So he looks at the Christian journey as a race. And he says that he had finished it. We'll look for it later. 4:7. Okay, there we go. Thank you. So there we go. He says this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who loved his appearing. So what is he emphasizing to us? Finishing. So what does he do in Acts chapter 16? He goes back to see how they're doing, to make sure they're growing and maturing. And I would say then, without any question, that it is important to realize then that when we're talking about sharing the gospel, when we're talking about evangelizing, that it is a priority to make sure that we're growing and maturing. Amen? You see that part? And he's going back. It is a priority when we are sharing the gospel, and we need to be committed to making sure of the maturing of the believers. Amen? How many people can say about your Christian walk and your journey that you are growing in your faith and in your maturity? You're growing. God is speaking to your heart. God is showing you new things. You're finding it pretty amazing that when you face difficulties and trials, that you actually have the strength, that you actually have the encouragement, that you actually have the knowledge to know that God is with you, that you're going to make it through, and you're fascinated by the fact that, wow, I'm still standing. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Unfortunately, there may be some who have departed. They have given up. They have walked away. I think, and this is my own interpretation of why Paul didn't want Mark to continue with him in partnership of ministry, because he said he left before in the previous missionary journey. I think he saw the difficulty of it. He saw the persecution. He saw the stoning. I think he gave up and walked away for a while. His faith fainted. And Paul, knowing how difficult his missionary journeys would be and the preaching of the gospel would be, said, I need someone next to me that I can depend on. I need someone mature. That's my own interpretation. I believe that's what happened. And so he's asking and he's going back to check up on these churches. It says at this place, Derbe or Lystra, there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. It tells us there that he was well spoken of by the brothers, so he had a good reputation at Lystra and Iconium. And it says Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. By the way, Paul would later write two epistles to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Paul would take Timothy under his arm, and Timothy would be mentored by Paul. He would disciple Timothy. So we have now here the introduction of this, how this relationship began. He had a good reputation. His mother was a believer, his father was a Greek, he was well spoken of, right, by the brothers, and he wanted Timothy, verse 3, to go with him. And then it says he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been made or been reached by the apostles of the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So Paul was impressed with Timothy that he asked him to join them in their missionary team. He asked him to be a team member. Now, we do something like that around here too, don't we? We're a team. We already talked about that, and that we're partners in ministry and sharing the gospel. I consider every one of you who have a ministry to be a team member, or we call it a ministry team, right? Or to be a leader in some ministry. Every one of you to be partners. And every one of you that have taken a responsibility of that in this church have all had a chance to talk to me. Right? Doug? Right? Anyone who's up here has talked to me. And I will make sure they understand the responsibility of what it takes to be part of a ministry. Whether it's a teaching ministry, whether it's a music, whatever it may be. Because we have to understand something, that we're a team. And we at least should share the same vision and have the same passion and understanding of why we're here and what we're doing. You'd be surprised sometimes in church circles how sometimes ministries and leadership are totally on separate pages. That can't happen, because then what's at stake? What is the risk that we run? That there would be a miscommunication or a misunderstanding, and somehow, some way, it would affect the preaching of the gospel and its effectiveness. So Paul decides, and he was impressed with Timothy. He had a good reputation. So he says, hey, I want you to join my missionary team. And I'm the same way. I'd like for all of you in some way, in some capacity, to join me in sharing the gospel at some level or some capacity. We have VBS coming up, so we're already making the invitation for you to come forward and say, hey, I want to be involved. Good, because I want to pray for you. And then here's another thing, too, that you'll know about me. Carter will confirm it. Everybody will. My prayer is that this is true. I've told all of you, just be yourself. Just use the gifts that God's given you. And a lot of times you want to report to me and you don't want to tell me, and I appreciate that. I promise you that if I see something veering, I'll go up to you anyway. Is, hey, you need any help? You need a hand? You need some guidance? Whatever, right? That should be what happens with good leadership. But everyone here, I believe, just as I would want to be able to be who I am, who God has made me to be, because by the grace of God, I am what I am, was what Paul would say. And to be free to express our love of Christ in our ministries and with the gifts that we have. That's what I think God wants us to do. Because of His grace, He can use every one of us, because we're unique. There is never going to be another you. You might as well be you, because there'll never be another one of you. And boy, what a loss there would be if the world didn't get to experience you. Yeah? Don't you see what's happened? He has set us free from bondage and from sin. And He has set us at liberty in the gospel to be who we are. We do not have to apologize. Just be who you are and who God has made you. You know, we mentioned before, for years that guitar sat there empty. Just sat there. I remember I used to tell, this is before Doug came here. Now, Lauren was already coming. And someday somebody's going to play that guitar. One day God's going to bring someone who's going to pick that thing up and start strumming it for us. And He brought Doug. The last person I would have picked. I mean, the guy showed up with his two dogs. What a great excuse not to stay at church when he dropped off Lauren. You'd say, hey, dude, you want to stay for a while? Nah, I got it, my dogs. Oh, okay, go home. Right, Doug? True story. And then I look at this piano, and beautiful Dolores played it wonderfully for so many years, right? And thank you, Dolores, for your service. Amen? She did such a beautiful job. She did. She's awesome. She still could do it, but she's taken, you know, she's served for years. She's entitled to a little retirement, right? And then all of a sudden, one day I look over here and, wait a minute. Wasn't that little girl that now is taller than I am? Of course, everyone is. Silver Carolyn. Right? Silver Carolyn. See how we all love each other? We can make fun of each other. Anyway, in a nice way. Anyway, now that piano has someone playing on it, that beautiful instrument, God has something for everyone. Paul found Timothy in these towns that he had founded, and his returning to follow up. Notice there's fruit. Now there's someone to pick from. How does this all work? In the very churches, God raises people. We don't need to go outside. Inside, there are people that God is raising up. And we now have also new teachers that are maturing and they're ready and they say, hey, I want to. And then sometimes God transplants families in here. Right? Brings them from somewhere else. Right, Evelyn? Ricardo? Sometimes he says, you know what? I could use you better over here. And he transplants people. That's usually not the first priority, you know, but sometimes it works that way. So Paul asked Timothy to join him, right? To join his team. And I think this shows God's provision. God will always take care of the needs that are in the church. Remember, Barnabas had left. Now, I will say this. It is painful. And I'm sure Paul wrestled with the whole idea of separating from Barnabas. And we saw that in the previous chapter. I have to mention this. When the contention is so strong, when the disagreement cannot be resolved, it's better to separate. Because the gospel has priority. And they did. Now, we do know the end of the story. They eventually came back together as Mark matured later in Paul's ministry. Nonetheless, another thing that I discover, even though Paul had to separate from Barnabas, we realize that God provided someone else to step into his place. Silas. And now Timothy. And what that shows is that there's no single worker in God's kingdom that's irreplaceable. Okay? When he leaves, that is Barnabas, for whatever reason, I already gave you my thoughts, God has a Timothy waiting in the wings to go with Paul. Because Paul's ministry needed the right personnel. A ministry has to have the right chemistry. That's why I say, and there have been people that have come here, hey, pray about whether or not this is the place God wants you. Make sure that you're getting, number one and foremost, that God's word is being preached. And make sure that you're learning and being fed. All the other things are like supplemental. All the other programs. But this is really, and we'll see here now, as we move on to the next part of this these passages that we're reading, God wants the right people in the right places to be able to get the gospel out effectively. You can't do it with someone that doesn't agree with leadership. Paul was God's man. God had sent Paul to the Gentiles. Everyone else that God put on his sides had to submit to him. That's why I think Paul was right in what he did. As difficult as it may have been, God had called him back in chapter 9 to be the voice to the whole world. And God had a ministry and a purpose for him. And he needs support personnel around him, but they must at least submit to him or at least be in sync with him. And if they can't, then they needed to find where they could be. Just a reality of life. Right? And because we are followers of the one who called himself the truth, we need to face these things head on. Sometimes God replaces people because the timing and because the priority is always the gospel. The work, the gospel work is more important than our personal differences. So God provided. That's what I'm trying to get at. He brought in a Timothy. Now, Timothy, his mom is a Jew, and his father is a Greek. Something interesting happens here. Paul wanted Timothy, as we look at verse 3, to accompany him. So it took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And I thought to myself, wasn't it after the Jewish council that the decision was made not to lay on the Gentiles the burden of the law? So why is Timothy being circumcised? Well, first of all, he's not just a Gentile, he's also a Jew. And Paul's ministry is going to go to the Jews. So when he takes his co-worker with him, right, he realizes that they're going to have an objection to a Jew not being circumcised. Now he circumcises him. Paul literally is the one who did it. But he does it not for him to be saved. He does it so that there isn't any objections or any reason why the people that they're going to serve, the gospel would be hindered. Interesting, huh? We know that Paul argued strongly against the Gentiles converting to Judaism or having to go under the law of Moses and having to observe the rite of circumcision. Remember, Timothy's mother's name was Eunice. His grandfather, his grandmother's name was Lois. Right, Lois? She was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So he was a half Jew and a half Gentile. Let me say this. The world is changing in this way, and in a very unique way. There are very few people anymore that are full anything. 100% Irish, 100% German, 100. We're living in a time where people are mixed. Right? And in order to reach them, you better understand them. Now I want to really get into what this is about and something that's always been on my heart. And I always pray that I'd be able to preach about it. We need to understand that there is diversity out there, and we cannot come in with our strong, personal, cultural views and isolate people. One of the problems in America today is that people are not willing to be open, and they talk about diversity, but they're not willing to practice it. They're judgmental, and there's a lot of discrimination, and there's most ignorance. And that blocks relationships. And the Lord is not interested in evangelism as being a program, as he is more interested in evangelism being a relationship. But in order to have relationships, you need to put down your guards and break down your walls. If you truly want to reach the world for Christ, you need to understand the people that you're going to serve. And I think the Lord brought me to this church at a perfect time. Because I bring to this church diversity. My dad traveled the world when I was a child. So my mind's open to everything. To people, to ways of thinking, to dressing, to music, to food, to religions. God knew and sees what he was doing when he allowed me to be dragged around the world. And this church is very diverse. red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And so in order to reach that part of the world, the Gentile world, Paul had Timothy circumcised, not for the sake of salvation, but so that there would be less to hinder his ministry among the Jews. That's why. Paul was recognizing that the key to reaching these Jewish people was going to the synagogues. And he knew that he took Timothy with him, and if he didn't have that Jewish character, if you will, going into the synagogues, then he wouldn't be fully accepted and he wouldn't have full entrance or access among the Jews. And that would somehow hinder his work. So what Paul did by asking Timothy, who was a Jew, and remember something too, we don't have to be circumcised if you're or do this or that as a Christian, but you have the liberty to do whatever you want. However, you shouldn't use your liberty as an occasion to the what? To the flesh. You can use and should use your liberty for the occasion of loving others. So if you like to drink, if you like to do something like drink a beer, and you go to a backyard barbecue, and you are a Christian, and you know that there's someone there who may have problems with alcohol, and you know that that person has struggled and suffered and maybe had great loss in his life because of that, you better not drink a beer in front of that person out of love for that person. You better just drink Pepsi. And what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that as Christians, God has given us liberties. But the Bible is very, very straightforward. Do not use them for the flesh's benefit. Use them for the benefit of love. And that's what we find. Paul did what he did with Timothy for the sake of love. Now, another co-worker would eventually join Paul, right? Titus. He never asked him to be circumcised. Why? He was a full Gentile. That's in Galatians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Every person and every circumstance needs to be discerned correctly. And so what we find out then is that some people will get confused on why Timothy was asked to be circumcised but not Titus. And what was the motive behind Paul? And I'm going to tell you, bottom line is that he used his liberty as a Christian to be more effective for the sake of the gospel. Now let me read to you an interesting passage. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Now hopefully we can understand something here. We are saved by grace. So there isn't anything that we do that saves us. But we're also to live by love. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 9. My eyesight's bad. Even with glasses. There is, I think, an interesting passage here. I think it will help us to understand how love works. That is the love of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse number 19. Do you see that, everybody there? For though I am free from all, okay, he's saying he's free from everything. I have made myself a servant to all. And what was the motive of that? That I might win more of them. Evangelism, or being a witness for Jesus Christ and sharing the good news, should be motivated by love to win more for Christ. So even though you're free, you would put yourself under or you would make adjustments, you would tweak your life in a way so that when you went out to talk to people, you wouldn't be offensive or offending them. You would go out and you would do whatever is necessary to build a relationship with them. So, guess what, Timothy? You're getting circumcised. So that when we go in, that's not the topic. Because they're still at another level than we are. And what is amazing to me is every one of us, before we became Christians, how it is after we become Christians, we forget what we were. And we come in and we attack people. We come in and we're not sensitive. So what I'm trying to reach here is what Paul's saying here is a thought. There's two thoughts here or ways to look at this. We're talking about flexibility and sensibility. Being flexible and being sensitive about others. Why? For what purpose? That you might be able to build and establish a relationship with them and win them to Christ. So he says here, even though I'm free, I make myself a servant to all. So that I might what? Win more of them. And I know Christians, but somehow, some way, because they're not being taught the whole counsel of God, they don't understand grace, they no longer hang out with their friends. They no longer, like I said earlier, go to backyard barbecues with their neighbors. They isolate themselves at work from people. Am I right or am I wrong? We should say, Lord, help me to be the friend of every sinner in the community. Ah, Pastor, well, hold on a minute. No, you hold on a minute. Where did you come from? The world. Where are you to go back to? The world. Not to be part of the world, but so the world may know Christ. I'm not saying we go back into those circles and do the same things they're doing. That's not what I'm saying. We go back into those circles understanding our freedom, but yet we make ourselves a servant. We go back to serve the gospel. Now look what Paul says in verse 20. To the Jew I became as a Jew in order to win what? Jews. That's exactly why Timothy was circumcised. Oh, I'll become like a Jew. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, although not being myself under the law. Notice how he puts that in parentheses. That I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, or to the lawless, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love. Right? That I might, what was the whole purpose of it? That I might win those outside the law. You know what we're supposed to be as Christian? We're supposed to be like Gumby. Anybody remember that? We're supposed to be flexible. We're supposed to be sensitive. We're not supposed to be walking around telling people, you're an idiot. You're going to hell. You're stupid. Why would they want to listen to what you have to say? We are saved by grace, therefore we must be gracious. We know Him because, or rather, we love Him because He first loved us. So then how is it that we're not loving others and we're not being flexible, we're not being sensitive, and we're not adapting? I'm telling you, I think and I hope that after this series through Acts, that we know what true evangelism is and we can fill this place up. It's not about a program. We're not introducing them to religion. We're introducing them to a relationship with the living God. Amen? And we can be free to be who we are, but we can also be free to adapt, to be flexible, to be sensitive. And to win them. You don't win people by being rude. You don't win people by arguing. You be patient and loving and gentle and tender. And then, when necessary, there are times to be strong and firm, because the truth is the truth. And you'll eventually run into that place where they will either reject it or they'll accept it. But nonetheless, we're not called to be nasty. No, not Paul here. And what he asked Timothy to do is to reach beyond what rights we have and consider that others have right to hear the gospel. Notice that? Verse number 22, to the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. Well, bless God, they're just nothing but a bunch of weak people. They're going to hear from me. I'm strong. That's not what this is saying. Amen? And then, just so Paul clears it all up, in verse 22, the latter part, it says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means, I might save some. Now, we have people that have actually, and in the past, disputed and or disagreed with us having our Family Fun Fall Festival. Because it's, after all, Halloween. That's worldly. And I say, oh, we're just going to come out here and be nice to the community, pass out candies, dress up as cowboys maybe one day. The next time we'll dress up as football players or baseball players with baseball jerseys. We're just going to have fun, take advantage of what the community is already going to do anyway. And we're going to say, hey, come on in here. It's safe. Come on in here. We've got lots of candy. Come on in here. Oh, by the way, have you been to church lately? My name is Pastor Robert. Oh, hi, Pastor Robert. I haven't been to church in years. Oh, really? You should come check us out. Look at all these people here. They're nice. Right? I mean, how can you be, you know what I'm saying? How can you walk up to Maritza and not walk away thinking, that's a nice smile? Or to, you know, Sarah. A beautiful smile. Or Barbara, or, you know, all any of us here. Right? Gail. How can you not walk up to Steve and say, hey, that was a great cupcake or cake walk? Or, man, you've got a lot of energy. Dude, what are you drinking? I need some of that. You know, for Steve, because he's always wired. Right? I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know, get a bear hug from Eric? I mean, they're free, right? Or get a hand from a Ricardo. Yeah, strong young man. Come help me out here. I got a flat tire. There he goes. Who wouldn't want to listen to the wisdom of our elders over here, right? Jerry and Rose. You know what I'm saying? Just open ourselves up and invite people in. Because that's what the gospel is. So Paul says at the end of verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 9, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. This is a way to approach evangelism, in my opinion, and to be effective, you know? For instance, if someone's going to witness to someone who's in the Catholic Church, don't you think you ought to know a little bit about them so that you can approach them in a tactful basis? And the same is true with other religions or other systems of religions and so on and so forth. If you're going to talk to some man who happens to be a fanatic on this, maybe if you knew a little bit about what that person knows, you might be able to gain entrance to his heart. Right? I remember there was one time we had Martine here who came out of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And remember how we had a little time or a little season to where we learned a little bit about them? And he brought a gentleman here who taught us a little bit about how they thought. And wow, I was very impressed. You know, that's the message. Because what is the message of Christianity? We'll finish with this. Number one, it's salvation by grace. So right out the gate, it's graciousness. Just the very first step is grace. That's the message of salvation. And then living my love of Christ. Living my love of Christ. You can say, that's it? That's it. We have made it so complicated. What is the message of salvation? Living by grace. And then living in his love. And because love will find a way to win a soul, whatever that is. And of course, I want to preface it by saying, as long as it's not illegal. These comments have been made by the management. I tell my students at school, because they come, I spend a lot of time, and my job is intervention. Well, they bring in their work to me, and they have problems with organization, they have problems with dates, the timelines, they have problems with their tests, they have problems with homework, they have problems with a lot of things. And my job is to bring all that together, and I say, dude, you have to learn to do whatever it takes to be successful, as long as it's not illegal. We need to understand that. We got to find solutions. How do we reach our neighbors? Well, one of the ways to is to learn about them. And that takes love. Because they may be different than us. So what? If we really care. Right? That's the message of salvation, is living, or rather, that we're saved by grace, living our love that is the love of Christ, right? That doesn't mean we stomp over people everywhere else. The law of liberty means it's the law of love, right? That's the right message, and that's what Paul does. If we go back to Acts chapter 16 again, look what happens. What's the result if they have the right understanding of the gospel? So we go, as they went on their way, verse 4, now that Timothy's circumcised, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for the observance, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. They say, hey, it's what? Salvation by grace. So what happened? And of course, living our love. That's why they're back. That's why they're serving. So the churches were what? The result? What's the result? They were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. So, we are saved by faith, and we're to live his love. Let's say that together. We are saved by faith, and we're to live his love. You say, Pastor, that's a really sophisticated message. Yep, it is. You know why? Because nobody's preaching it, or hardly anyone is. I love you. Love each other, because that by that, the world would know we belong to Christ. Amen? Love each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for teaching us about how the first disciples, the first apostles, how they made your message of grace a priority, and how they understood that they were to love others. And they were willing to be flexible and sensitive in order to win others to the gospel. My prayer, Lord, that this message today would penetrate deep into our hearts and our souls as a church, and also as individuals, and that we would see the great privilege and honor that we have to be messengers of this wonderful news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be effective by removing ourselves from the equation and allowing the expressions of your grace and love to reach and touch hearts and souls. It's that simple. Yet we have complicated it, we have twisted it, we have turned everything inside out and into knots. But we pray, Lord, right now that you would put everything in order for us as a small little church, but great in our passion for you and for the spreading of the gospel. Do with us, Lord, as you please. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.